Let's take the Word of God as we have the pleasure and joy of doing and turn in the Scriptures to Luke chapter 2 to hear of the birth of our Savior. Luke chapter 2, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Beloved, hear now the word of the living and true God. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. And that is the word of the Lord. We notice in the first three verses we're given the context in which Jesus was born. It was during the census that was being taken, and that is the numbering of the people, just as they do in our nation every 10 years, to get the gist of the makeup of the nation, of the people. And here it's the Roman Empire, and so it says all the inhabited earth, which to them at that time was virtually the whole earth for them. And this was, of course, taking the census, helpful for figuring out military strategy and taxes and all these things. So the census being taken, Joseph, along with Mary, went to Nazareth to Bethlehem, and we would note here the prophecy from the prophet Micah that the Christ would be born in Bethlehem. He says in Micah, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." And we're given there a reason why Christ was born. At least one, that he would be ruler in Israel, that he would be king over all. Well, now Mary and Joseph were not yet married. Mary, of course, we already heard, was betrothed to Joseph, and they hadn't known one another yet. Mary, as we know, was still a virgin, and yet, as we heard in the last chapter, she was with child by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is why Jesus was not seen to have had that covenantal aspect of sin that comes in Adam. He was born by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in that way, he was sanctified or holy. And it was while they were in Bethlehem, according to the prophecy, that Mary was due to give birth. And she did give birth, it says, and laid Jesus in a manger, that is a feeding trough, for animals, because there was no room in the inn, or no room in the hotel, as we might say today. Why? Because we know already from the context, because in Bethlehem there's a census being taken for the people in that region. And so everything's booked up, as we might say, at the inn. There's lots of people there, even though it was a small town. And then we were given the account of the shepherds, who themselves were notified by an angel of the birth of Christ, coming, verse 10, to bring good news of great joy, which will be for all peoples. The only good news that can come to all peoples is found right here in Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Savior, the Lord, had been born, and has been born. And it was at that time, verse 13, that a host of heaven appeared. And so think of the picture of heaven even as we worship now. The myriads of angels and that we read about a few weeks ago when we were looking at the end of the book of Exodus, chapter 20, and we looked in Hebrews and how we come to Mount Zion and the great assembly, the general assembly, and the myriads of angels. It says, a host of heaven appeared to the shepherds and praising God, saying that what we have in verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased. And do you know the shepherds' response at this? Immediately going to their Savior and Lord, they did not hesitate. They left their flock to whatever might become of them, and they went to see the Christ. And they came to Jesus and they did what? They proclaimed the gospel. The shepherds proclaimed the gospel. They proclaimed what the angels had told. In verse 14, and what the angel he had said in verse 10, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy about, of course, the Savior. And so they proclaimed the gospel to Mary and Joseph and to those around them. And all who heard the shepherds, it says, wondered. They stood in awe. And what did Mary do in response? Verse 19, she treasured the words from God that came through the angels to the shepherds and through the shepherds to them. And she meditated upon the word. It says she pondered them. She meditated upon them. She thought about them over and over and over, as we are to do every Lord's Day when we hear the Word of God. Or even when we meditate throughout the week upon the Word that we've read. And the shepherds, what did they do? They went back glorifying and praising God for all they heard and for all they saw. And so notice the many things that the birth of Christ instructs us in about how we ought to live. Not only that we must come to Christ because He is our King and He's our ruler and He was born to save and He's the only one who can save. We also learn and are instructed in here that Jesus was born as the God-man to rule, and it is here to hear His Word as He speaks it from heaven through a messenger to us every Lord's Day, and to stand in awe of our God, to treasure all that we hear of the words of the Lord in our heart and meditate upon them and glorify Him and praise Him for what we hear, whether it attacks our sin and it makes us sorrowful or grieving because of our our own sinfulness, because it points us back, of course, to Him. But of course, it also leads us to proclaim the Word. And that's what the shepherds did. They proclaimed the Word. We are to proclaim the Word to others as we hear the Word. We are to proclaim it to one another. So as you go home, you talk about it with your spouse or with your children. You talk about it with your neighbors or whoever you come in contact with. You have somebody on a phone call. You talk to your children on the phone. And you talk to them about the Word that you heard. You proclaim the Word to others that they might do the same as the shepherds did and as Mary did, to praise the Lord and stand in awe and wonder. And that's our calling that He lays down. It's a daily calling. And it's surprisingly found here at the birth of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for Your Son. We're thankful that every Lord's Day we are enabled and are called to celebrate the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, and now the session of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who sits on the throne as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're thankful that You have given us these testimonies from Your Word in which we ought to praise You. Because we see here the great humiliation that You, that Your Son, that You sent Him to earth. He who was in all glory in heaven with You, in all eternity, in all perfection, in all everything around Him without sin or evil. If we could describe it in such a way as the place, for it is infinite, where You are. And, Father, we thank You that You sent Him for us to an evil, wicked, sinful world. And we see in this humiliation just an aspect of it here in our passage of even being in a feeding trough, where cattle or oxen or horses or donkeys ate their food. And so it was dirty. He is not shown here to be in this great palace and all the riches around Him and every aspect of cleanliness that would befit a king. And a king who is God. But He is found to be in the manger, the feeding trough, and dirty. And we thank You for this, as we know that He in every way is sympathetic to our weaknesses, and He's lived a life that is similar to ours and can be similar to many people's despite their situation in life. We thank You that He was made under the law, and we can exalt in Your law today as we go back and investigate in Exodus Your law that You gave to Your people. And so, Father, we pray that You would give us hearts that rejoice in the good news, in the gospel of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, in this, as we'll hear this evening, we struggle in many ways to rejoice always, even in the midst of trials. And so those who are downtrodden and are struggling in their souls today, or even in their bodies, we pray that You would strengthen them and remind them of the gospel, which they always can rejoice in no matter what, knowing that our eternity and our future is certain, that we will be with You forever and ever. If we are Your children, if we have come by faith and trusting in Your Son, Jesus Christ, alone for our life and salvation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.